Fred Film Radio is joining the Sydney Film Festival Australia.
This is Christiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, and I'm in conversation with Tuija Halttunen, director of How to Kill a Cloud, presented at the Sydney Film Festival. Good afternoon, Tuija.
Good afternoon, Christiana. Pleased to see you or meet you in years.
Same here, Tuija. I'm very pleased that you managed to have time for Fred and for this interview. Very much appreciated.
Well, my pleasure.
Tuija, let's start talking about How to Kill a Cloud, which, in my opinion, tells two stories. The story of Hannaele Korhonen, a brilliant Finnish scientist who takes on a multi-million dollar project to make rain in the desert, and the story of the same brilliant scientist who becomes caught in an ethical dilemma between research, finance, and the environment. Would you like to elaborate on these layers?
Yes. You found those layers I tried to put in the film. For me, there are also other layers in the film. It's quite complicated in that sense, but yes, they are the stories. I think the kind of the arch story or the plot line of the film is the research of Hannaele Korhonen and her efforts trying to make it rain. But the theme or the more profound level of the film is more universal and more out of time, which is when a human being is caught in moral and ethical questions and have to kind of live through them in their lives.
Oh, yes, indeed. I absolutely felt that when I was watching your film. What was your motivation in making the film? What were you responding to?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. My motivation in the beginning was the clouds, because I wanted to do a film about clouds, but I didn't find any angle to them. And then I heard about this research program and about Hannaele Korhonen, and it kind of clicked me right away that this is the story I want to tell. But why? I think the reason was right from the beginning, I knew that I don't want to do a conventional science film. I feel it's not my way to do films. I don't know. I feel I don't even know how to make a conventional science film. But I do like to tell stories, and in this film I saw a story which had very nice potential for a filmmaker to invest ethical things. And at first I was thinking about humans playing cards, and then right away the ethical questions, which were who is controlling science, how does ambition affect one's choices in their life, is there some ethical questions we should think about? And then, of course, when I realized that our main character is a Scandinavian, pretty young, talented woman heading to a total different culture, it kind of intrigued me to follow what would happen in that sense in the film, when she meets the different kind of culture where she has learned to be. She had never been to Arabian Peninsula before, or Arabic world. So what really tricked me and got me going was the ethical and moral dilemma I felt there was in this situation.
Yeah,
and of course, sorry, Christian, I still have
you
to
go?
Say. And, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Very well. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So one thing was that it was about atmosphere, which is now very, close to me, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. And I think that angle, the angle of the ethical question, was very well portrayed in your film. While I was watching the film, I had one question, really out of my own curiosity, I think, that kept on popping up, which that is, how did you convince Hannele Koronen to make the documentary?
Yes, you are not the only one to ask this question. it has been popping up a lot. Well, when I heard about this in news, I right away contacted her. I just emailed her, and we agreed to meet the next day, actually. And we went to and have a cup of coffee, and I told myself, I told about my point of view to films, and I said to her that this is not going to be a conventional science film, but more like this human god ethical questions. And she said, it is fine. She was a bit reluctant in that sense that she was afraid of me. She's a very private person, which you, of course, can see also in the film. So she was a bit worried if I was going to show her private life or family life or anything of that sense out of her career life. And that was her condition, that if I'm not going to do that it is okay. And the other condition was that the UAE funding or the UAE country gives us the access and they say it's okay, she will do it. I didn't have to convince her much, but to promise this thing that I will not show her private life, which was okay for me since I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to film her making coffee or kitchen life or things like that. However, when I was talking to her, I realized very quickly that she is, even for Finn, we all are very reserved and private people. She was extra Finn in that sense. And of course, it bothered me a bit that will she work as a protagonist in the film? Because usually audience have learned to watch main characters that give a lot out of themselves, so it's easier to attach to them. Then we did some shootings, and pretty soon I found out that her face was very expressive, so I knew we could make the film in that sense. Also, we then agreed at some point that I can ask her and about filming in some in particular environment or place or situation or any kind of scene. And if she feels uncomfortable, she's always welcome to say no. So, yes. So she said yes in that coffee table.
Well, I agree with you when you say that her face is very expressive, and this is you can see all throughout the film that she conveys that really authentic and genuine flair to the film, because she come across very authentic in all throughout the film. I wonder how much time did you spend with her to understand the experience she was going through?
Well, do you mean outside the filmings?
Outside the filming.
Actually, only that, but we did something because when we went away, we of course didn't shoot all the time, and all the extra time I talked a lot with her. And in the in Finland as well, because we shot in different places, and so we did spend some time together, but not too much. I don't think that we spent so much. But of course, because we were traveling in the same car, and we were eating together, and we were going things like that. But I didn't. It was just casual hanging for me, I guess. I don't know.
you didn't end up living with her for a while.
No, I didn't. Yeah, no. But we did talk about a lot about these ethical questions and integrity in filmmaking and in science making, and similarities that two worlds have. And at one point, it also felt for me and my DOP that we were making kind of a meta film of filmmaking, because the similarities between this integrity and funding and those questions are very similar to us. So it was kind of easy to relate on those aspects of her life. And she also, by the way, she watched at least one, if not two, my previous films, and she said she loved them and she will be my fan. So I think also that convinced her a bit, maybe.
Well, she felt flattered that you wanted to make a film on her experience, I guess.
I don't know, but I think it's a very human thing. Many people do.
Tuya, I would like to ask you a question about the making of the film. In particular, I found the scenes that capture clouds in the sky very poetic and mesmerizing. Could you please tell us how did you film those scenes?
Yes. It's a funny story.
Oh, good.
I wanted to make a film about clouds, but at one point when we were filming in the UAE, my cinematographer had took a couple of images of just a casual images of clouds, and I didn't know how to bring them into the story. I knew we had spoken a lot in advance with my DOP that my wish is to have the feeling of clouds present throughout the film, either in vapor or water or somehow at a unconscious way the clouds are there. And also in this point my cinematographer got the idea of composing the images so that there's a lot of headroom there, so they are a bit oddly composed by purpose to get the feeling that the clouds are hovering over us all the time in the images. And then at one point we loved this idea so much, and since I wanted to also film the film on a tripod, it was easy to do. So not easy, but easier. And we loved this. When we were watching the dailies, we really liked the footage, and we thought that, well, this is great. And then we got this master idea. I don't know if we have had a glass of beer before that or not. I don't know. But then we got this idea, hey, come on, let's make a film about clouds and show no clouds at all, because we have it all here in this idea. And we were so thrilled. We were clapping our hands and hugging and saying, we are so genius. Let's make a film without any clouds. Well, we continued that way for 3 years. And then I went to editing room, and after 2 days, I realized, this is not going to work. We need the clouds. And I walked to him, or called him, the cinematographer, and I said, oh, Ville, we really need the clouds. And he was at first like a bit offended. Well, are you now kind of chickening out of our plan? And I said, no, we need the clouds. And then he said, well, will I go out and shoot just any, like, tens of hours of clouds, or how we do? So we had already started the editing when I realized we really need the images of clouds, but how to shoot them? That was my next question. And I did spend maybe a couple of weeks trying to kind of get an idea how to show the clouds. And then I went into the beginning of my making this film, when I at first had fallen in love with clouds. And then I realized the clouds are for me like a character in the film, kind of a character, or metaphysical way. And then I thought, well, how would I like to present my character if it was a human being? Well, I would like to show different kind of emotions, in different kind of moods, different kind of reactions. And this funny story actually turned out to be a kind of victory, or I don't know victory, but anyway, benefiting the film, because now when I told to my cinematographer that go and shoot Clouds, I could say to him, give me Grammy Clouds, different kind of emotions, different kind of times of day and weather conditions. And that way it was is also easier for him to go out and search for those clouds. So we did have, then when he came back, he did this maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know, shooting these clouds, which I gave him the wish list in advance. And then we had kind of a nice amount of time of clouds. We didn't have to go through like hundreds of hours of clouds in the editing room, but we had kind of specific characterized clouds. So this is the story about how we shot the clouds.
I think it's a very interesting and a great story, behind the scene story. Very our film about clouds ended up with a lot of clouds.
it's a nice story about the creative process when you think you have a master idea and it turns out to be just a not so marvelous when you end up in the editing room.
Tuja, I wanted to ask you also a more overarching question about your documentary, and more in general, in your opinion, what is the impact of documentaries such as How to Kill a Cloud to portray social and environmental issues on the wider society? Which kind of impact do you think it can have?
I think it can have impact on individuals, and through that to their choices, and through that more to the society in general. I think films and documentaries are films as well, affect through individual level more than like it would, and that's why they work so much on emotional levels. And of course, documentaries often work also on intellectual level. So I don't know. I hope it has an impact, but it also needs people to see to be able to see the film. And when I was younger, so much younger filmmaker, I thought when I make a documentary film, it will change the world and people will realize some things that they haven't seen before. Unfortunately, I've grown older and I understand the massive amount of films and information people are receiving all the time. So it is not going to happen easily or soon via one film. But I am in that sense also a bit romantic, or I don't know what's the word in English, but maybe naive as well. That I think that maybe sometimes it's enough if one person sees and can act after that. So, and it's important to, for me as a filmmaker, any documentary film is important to, in that sense that it shows things that couldn't be seen otherwise or understood. And it's not my thing to kind of lecture or say how the things should be, but to give means to people to understand the world better, and some means or seeds perhaps to their own thinking, and make them think themselves and see different things. So I don't feel like being a demagogue or anything like that. Who knows how the world should be, but I really want to show different aspects of the world.
Yeah, and as you said, Tuja, even if documentary such How to Kill a Cloud can't change the entire society is anyhow is planting a seed, and this is the important thing, planting a seed, and the seed will grow.
Yeah, and I do believe in that. I wouldn't make these films if I didn't.
Another important consideration about your film is that has been included in the Sydney Film Festival section, Europe Voices of Women in Film, which includes 10 films by European women directors. And this program is really, really important because promotes talented women from around Europe who have directed engaging and important films. And for Sydney Film Festival, this is a very important section of the program and it's been going on for 6 years. And it's something that is really close to the heart of the program managers at the Sydney Film Festival. And one of the themes for this year's festival was the concept of navigating cultural boundaries and at the same time being able to tell a universal story. So what is your experience in telling stories that are situated in a specific cultural setting, but at the same time can convey universal messages?
Yes. Of course, I had to think about this quite a lot before. One experience with this film, not larger scale, if it's okay for you, what I experienced. When, yeah. So I, of course, thought about this in advance because neither our main character nor I had never been to Arabic countries or culture, and we had to only go there based on the things we had learned through media.
Yeah.
And of course, when you live in a Western country, I understood in advance that the view I may have gotten may be narrowed and not so deep and tell the whole story of the world we are entering. Even if I tried to read a lot and watch films and so on. But anyway. It may sound stupid, but I decided to be humble in a sense that at first I thought, because I truly believe that humans are the same in core in many levels in the world. Of course, we have different backgrounds and cultural upbringing, but anyway, we have the same mechanism in ourselves all with love and hatred and aspires and even ambition. But I understood this thing, and then I knew that because I've of course seen many films done in different cultures, and I could have been related to those persons. I knew that if I can convey some of these basic things that are common to every human being, love, hatred, fear, or ambition in this case, then it works everywhere in every culture. And then I knew that we also were going to a culture that have a different view for women and so on. So in advance, I read a lot about their culture, and we were talking with the crew that we are going there not to lecture or teach them how to live, but to kind of respect the culture, behave the way the culture expects us to behave, but at the same time be proud. Views, and so maybe my thing here is that, or my approach was that we are on the same eye level there. I'm not coming from up to say them, this is wrong, you shouldn't do this, or I'm not coming from down and apologizing that I'm a female film director or whatever. I was determined to be on the same eye level, and to I said to myself in advance that whoever I meet, I'm meeting a person, a human, a fellow human, and we can always wait to find the way to communicate. I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely. I was listening and it was quite fascinating, because, and thank you very much for sharing this with us. It's a very intimate response, and I totally understand where you're coming from when you say, for me was just relating to another fellow human being. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tuya, I have one last question for you. Have you got any new project you want to talk about?
Sorry, now there were some scratches in your voice. Can you repeat?
Sure. Have you got any new project you want to talk about?
I have a couple of feature documentaries on research stage, but I'm very hesitant to talk about my project before they are a bit further. In this stage, they are so fragile that it's difficult to talk about them. But they are concerning about the same object, moral choices, maybe even international politics. And so, yeah.
Oh, that sounds very interesting. So we'll watch that space, Tuya.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So, good luck with your new projects, and thank you very much for your time, Tuya.
Thank you, Christiane. This was very nice chat.
And I've been talking to Tuya Halttunen, director of How to Kill a Cloud, presented at the Sydney Film Festival. And I'm Christiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.